Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yidinji Country. That's BB and Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong. Now, be proactive, not reactive. Why testing your smoke alarm is vital. Standingly, just over half of the smoke alarms were working properly at properties that suffered a fatal fire. That's just one of the statements here. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn there with Grant Garland, Technical Sales Representative at Brooks Australia. A very good morning, Grant. How are you?
Morning, Trevor. Yeah, pretty good, thank you.
Good, thank you very much
for coming. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, no, thank you for coming to the program. Thank you for your time. You're based in Sydney, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So your sales rep, Brooks Australia, technical sales rep, statement here, be proactive, not reactive. Why testing your smoke alarm is vital. Now, here in Queensland, it's compulsory that all houses have smoke alarms, but not the case in New South Wales, is that right?
No, that's right. So Queensland are leading the way with the legislation to have smoke alarms in all households. Now, hopefully, the rest of Australia will pick up their act and pass the legislation to be equal to Queensland.
Well,
but at the moment, Queensland are leading the way.
Well, there you go. And the smoke alarms, look, it saves people's lives. And the statement here is be proactive, not active. Why testing your smoke alarm is vital. So being in this industry, it is very vital, isn't it? And it's a simple process, is it not?
It is. It is. And as you said earlier, that the statistics show that where there's house fires that have had fatality, there's been just over half of those households had detectors, and to be honest, there was only about 60% of those are actually functioning. So that alone shows that there is opportunity there to put in working alarms, and it could prevent fatalities.
Exactly.
Every second counts during an emergency. If there's a fire, you need every second to react and get out.
Smoke alarms, they go off because of the detection of smoke, and smoke is the killer. It is a simple process. Now, can an individual do it, or they need to have technicians in?
Well, an individual can do it. So generally, in the centre of any smoke alarm, there'll be a test button, and you can just gently hold it down for around 10 seconds, and it should make a noise. And if they're interconnected throughout the house, which they should be, then each one will make its own noise, and then you just move to the next device, and it only takes maybe 10 seconds each one.
And once you have the beep, it shows it works.
They will need to be replaced.
Okay, fantastic.
But you can also, the ones that have 9-volt little batteries in them, they should be changed every year.
Okay.
So that way you'll be on top of it.
Okay.
And they will work when they're needed,
which
is the main thing.
Yep, very, very much so. So very simple. And testing your smoke alarm is vital. So be proactive, not reactive. That's the statement here. But thank you for your yarn, Grant. All the best to you. And come up here in North Queensland and join us sometime. That's Grant there, Grant Garland, Technical Sales Representative at Brooks Australia. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416.
You know who it be,
you know,
baby, bear the dawn.
It's all but this time,
GBC,
everybody,
CNS.
This time I feel lost in a world so cold and so lonely. This time I feel broke, and if I left, no one would even know me. This time I feel lost in a world so cold and so lonely. This time I feel broke, and if I left, no one would even know me.
This time I'ma make a difference. What you heard is what you're hearing.
True.
Everybody doubted me, you didn't believe in my dreams, saying you will never make it, making me lose faith in
everything.
How could I do what I gotta do when everybody's still hating? I'm losing my friends, it's a doggy dog world out here. I know it's not fair, I need to get things off my chest to make it clear before I lose it and disappear. I know my options are open, where did I fail?
Had
thoughts of losing this battle, got me losing my mind, man. When will my life set sail? Praying for better days, knowing things will never change, yet it still remains the same. Am I forgiven for the times that I done? Affecting the people around me, even my loved ones. I'ma promise I'ma change in time, not knowing when, but I'll never lie. It'll get better time.
This time I feel lost in a world so cold and so lonely. This time I feel broken. me.
This time I'ma strategize and make moves, hoping to elevate my situation I'm in. Sick of being broken, feeling down.
True.
When will I learn from the mistakes that I've made now? Time to come alive and open my eyes and realize who the fuck is gonna stop me. No one why, 'cause I'm alone in this world, trying to figure out what the fuck I'm gonna do now. Please God guide me, show me a sign from above. Need your help 'cause it feels like my life is fucked. From all the stress and pain, feels like I'm playing a different game compared to one another, but it's still all the same. All I'm asking for is a change in direction, 'cause I feel lost and confused from all these fucked distractions.
True,
show me the passage and I shall pass the message on.
Yeah.
Who else can I depend on? Thanks for the life lessons.
Time I feel lost in a world so cold and so lonely. This time I feel broken. If I left, no one would even know me. This time I feel lost in a world so cold and so lonely. This time I feel broken. If I left, no one would even know me.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
In this moment, I know I made it. I saw the walls I had to climb and then I faced it. I made it home, call the papers. and tell my family I'll be home for tea. I know that it's been ages,
and I can't pretend that it's not bittersweet. As I'm standing here, this feeling, it just washes over me. And I can't fall the way it helps me breathe. I was scared I wouldn't make it. I was crawling on my knees, but I
Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbleprint Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, now leading names to address National Aboriginal Child Safety and Domestic Violence Summit in Adelaide. With that, we're going to talk to Craig Rigney, CEO of KWI, and got Craig on the line. Craig, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, my brother. I'm very, very well, thank you, and very excited to be here.
Yeah, good. Thank you for coming to the program. Craig, before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Nurrumjeri Kaurna mob here, down in South Australia.
All right, fantastic. You're a CEO of KWI, acronym KWI. Who's that?
KWI is Nurrumjeri, for people working together.
All right, fantastic. So talking about child safety, domestic and Aboriginal violence, is at the forefront of a national summit being held in Adelaide. Can you give us a bit of background there, please?
Yeah, what we've done is we've thought that was a really important time. When we see what's happening across the nation and with the over-representation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children out of home care, and sadly, you know, the ongoing scourge of family violence against Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women and children. So we created an opportunity to bring speakers from across the country. You know, we've got policymakers in here. We've had the Honourable Amanda Rishworth open the summit for it. And we've had several state government ministers also really having an open and honest, robust conversation about their commitment to lowering those numbers and the over-representation, but also about, you know, building the capacity for Aboriginal community control organisations to do the work themselves.
Well, exactly. And look, it's got to be black on black, you know, front line and dealing with our children, our mob, you know. And I know a lot of the elders call this space the 21st century stolen generation. So we need to get it fixed. And it's great to have these big national yarning circles, my friend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we only have to look at the statistics and compare them to the stolen generation statistics, and we're blowing them out of the water, sadly. We're at the wrong end of the scale across the board and overrepresented. As one of the ministers said this morning, we're just, you know, we've got to find a way to pull back those statistics. And as you said, black on black, Aboriginal-led businesses doing the Aboriginal work with Aboriginal families and bringing the Aboriginal voice to the table. So, Kane, it's so important, and it's a highlight of what we must be doing.
And look, it's about protecting the children. As a lot of the cases, children need to be removed till the family, the parents, get their life in order, what have you. But the children should be moved, I feel, though, to a black family. If we're talking about foster care or talking about in care, should be black on black in that sense as well.
Absolutely. And look, we know that we struggle with the numbers of, you know, Aboriginal-based carers looking after our children. And when we have our non-Aboriginal carers in there, you know, we would absolutely like to see, if those children need to go long-term, that those children go to Aboriginal families long-term. I think that's really important and a crucial key, you know, to the messaging that Aboriginal people and Aboriginal community have been telling us.
Until we get the numbers of First Nation carers as such, look, we do applaud and appreciate our non-Indigenous foster carers, but they've got to be at the table in regard to the cultural circle and in regard to engaging their kids in the cultural circle while they're looking after the children if they're non-Indigenous, yes?
Absolutely. You said it beautifully, and I echo those sentiments through and through. They need to be at the table, need to hear our voices, need to understand who we are and the way that we do things, and I think that is absolutely crucial. Our kids, you know, our children need that cultural connection.
And
you know, that's something that might be missing, and that's, you know, the importance of that and having Aboriginal carers, you know, is underestimated, I think.
Yeah, true, Craig. And regarding the summit there in Adelaide, is it still in progress?
Yes, it is. We're halfway through day two of a three-day national summit.
Yes.
And we've got some magnificent speakers that have been sharing their innovation, you know, from a First Nations perspective and working with our people here in South Australia, but also across the nation. And then tomorrow we have a packed day of all Aboriginal leaders from across the country coming in and really, I guess, echoing the thoughts that we've been talking about today, my brother, around, you know, Aboriginal-led voices, Aboriginal-led decision-making, and children sitting within Aboriginal families.
And look, it's fantastic. We have these yarning circles, but there's got to be action thereafter. And the old phrase, well done, is better than well said. We need to have action on the table, and then we need to take it to the government so they can act on it as well when we're talking about funding or support in the space.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, we've just had a commitment from two ministers here today in South Australia around putting aside specific funding, increasing the work that can be done by Aboriginal community-controlled organisations for our community. So we would love to see that happen, you know, at a Commonwealth level and across the country, where we're bolstering the support service for Aboriginal families by Aboriginal community-controlled organisations.
Craig, look, good talking with you. Thank you very much, Sharon. Big shout out to the mob there at the conference. Look, keep doing what you're doing. A very important yarning circle it is. And we'll yarn soon, Craig.
No worries. Take care, my brother.
Take care, brother. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beautiful yarn there. Craig Rigney, his name is, CEO of KWI. And look, talking from the summit in Adelaide and leading names to address national Aboriginal child safety and domestic violence. So we had the likes of Catherine Little, CEO of SNAKE, and also April Laurie, South Australia Commissioner for Aboriginal Children and Young People. Also Dale Agius, South Australia Inaugural Commissioner for First Nation Voice and respected journal and presenter Stan Grant. So they're top of people at the summit. Very important conversation. Yarning Circle it is, and strong for our future, our children, and keeping them safe. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black. Yeah, have that. The number is, have your say, 1-800-422-416. Good yarning with Mob, and we'll be yarning soon. Too deadly.
Stepping out of shit you don't like. Moonwalk away from the truth like Mike. Sugar spike, light a bed, it gets pathetic. We desperate, we feeling reckless, I get it. We getting lost in the message. And you always talking shit when there's nothing to say. And when I need you to show up, you get lost in the days. Feeling trapped in a maze, I'm feeling so out of place. Feeling like a young prince getting caught in the rain. And you purple in the face when you holding your breath. And you chasing that high, crashing down like a jet. Turbulence, got a brother on the fence. Self-defensive, full of fake. And you dancing with two lefts. You're my dog, I'm your vet. And you got nothing let, I put you down. Lately I've been dealing with my back against the ground. Feeling like the ceiling closing everything around. Gotta fix some sugar and you never make a sound. Sweet.
Sugar-coated lies, we don't wanna talk about it. Such a sweet disguise, and we just gonna dance around it.
Chasing that, chasing that, chasing that, high. Dance around it, dance around it. Chasing that, chasing that, chasing that, high. Dance around it, dance around it.
You if you don't fuck with yourself. I don't eat no sugar cause it's bad for my health. Keep that sweet simple shit out my ears, damn it's poison. Dulling my senses and numbing out choices. You run around voiceless, you loyal to a foe. Spinning those lies got you trapped in a void. I'm told I'm cold, you sold your soul for gold. It's bold to shed your mold when your palm is a globe. And I wouldn't stop if I coulda. Blood sugar shoulda crashed when you feeding that trash. When you falling that fast, man, that shit is a blur. When I'm spilling this tea, damn, it's hard not to slur. Yeah, dance around the truth like a tango. Trying to unchain it like I'm Django. You the cold kidding, I swear you never asked why. Got you addicted to big little lies.
Sugar-coated lies, we don't wanna talk about it. Such a sweet disguise, and we just gonna dance around.
Chasing that, chasing that, chasing that, high. Dance around it, dance around it. Chasing that, chasing that, chasing that, high. Dance around it, dance around it.
It'll all unwind if we keep pretending. And we hide behind rose tinted lenses. If I light a fire, will you dance around it? Will you dance around? Sugar-coated lies, and we don't want to talk about it. Such a sweet disguise, and we just gonna dance around it.
Chasing that, chasing that, chasing that, high. Dance around it, dance around it. Chasing that, chasing that, chasing that, high. Dance around it, dance around it. Chasing that, chasing that, chasing that, high. Dance around it, dance around it. Chasing that, chasing that, chasing that, high. Dance around it, dance around it.
Inna nega puana, inna nega puana, hey ula. Ula ula, ula epi epi. Guana 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 gua. Choo. Guana 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 gua. Choo. Inna ne kapuana, inna ne kapuana. Yeah.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbleboop Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the country thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. Now, Royal Commission anniversary highlights the need to also safeguard children in non-institutional family settings. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Professor Daryl Higgins from ACU Institute of Child Protection Studies, and he's the director of On the Line. Professor Daryl, good morning. How are you?
Very well, thanks. And it's lovely to be coming to you today from Wurundjeri country down here, and I acknowledge them and the Kulin Nation peoples down here in Victoria.
Beautiful. Thank you, Professor, for that. And big shout out to the mob there. Thank you very much. Look, talking about the space and the hat that you wear in regard to the ACU Institute of Child Protection Studies Director. And look, since the Royal Commission anniversary highlights the need to also safeguard children in non-institutional family settings. How are we going about that? Can you please enlighten us, please, Professor.
Yeah, look, thanks, Trevor, for highlighting this issue. And really what we're trying to point out is that this week is the fifth anniversary of the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse handing down its final report and 407 recommendations. But they were focused around institutions, youth-serving organisations, you know, be they community organisations, schools, churches, you know, sports clubs, a range of different institutions in order to focus on what needs to happen in order to keep children safe. But it was outside of the role or the terms of reference for that Royal Commission to be focusing on the one site where children are actually most at risk of sexual abuse and of a range of other forms of child abuse and neglect, and that is the family home. And so we're really wanting to, with this call for action, point out the need to focus our attention not just on institutions, which of course is important, and I'm very much a part of that and very supportive of safeguarding practices and policies and the focus on, you know, child safe standards in many of our youth serving organisations, but to add to that a focus on parents and families and how we can safeguard children and keep them safe.
Well, it's about putting a spotlight on serious problems with risk in children in institutional settings. And you're doing just that. So, so very important. Look, they're precious cargo. We're talking about our children. And it takes a community to raise a child. So we all need to be hands-on, don't we, in that sense?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so really what we're calling for here is for there to be part of a national conversation, but also some really concrete supports for parents and families. Because we know that there are some pretty challenging conversations that need to be had, particularly when we're talking about more generally family supports for good quality parenting practices in order to reduce the likelihood of any form of child abuse and neglect. We know that that's the really critical ingredient for parents to know about what a safe and non-violent parenting practices, and in so many different places around the country, we don't have access to evidence-based parenting supports and parenting programs in places that are non-stigmatizing and where families go and attend. You know, they really need to be run from schools and early childcare centers. They need to be run from, you know, community organizations. They need to be delivered in culturally appropriate and sensitive ways. And to have greater and lesser levels of intensity, if you like, proportionate to the need. Some families just might need a bit of an encouragement and a pat on the back, or maybe a suggestion of trying something different. Other families will need much greater supports. But I think it becomes even more challenging when we're not talking about those other forms of child abuse and neglect, but when we're focusing on what would prevention of child sexual abuse look like. And of course, that was what the Royal Commission focused on in institutions. And we need to take some of those same learnings and apply them to the family. And so really that means having some supports for parents to have those difficult conversations. It means we need to be talking about sex and sexuality. We need to be talking about consent, about respect, around online safety, around access to pornography and literacy skills for young people who are encountering sexualized imagery and pornography in a much more frequent way than ever before.
Exactly.
And yet, are we building their skills to be able to critique and see that that may not be anywhere near the norm and is acting and is promoting a particular view of, you know, masculinity and femininity and the way in which, you know, pleasure and human intimacy is enacted.
So, Emery, when we talk about the word abuse, it comes in all forms, doesn't it? Can you just highlight some of those forms?
Yes, well, of course, the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse was focusing on sexual abuse primarily, but that includes not just, you know, physical, you know, penetrative sex, but it includes a range of different grooming behaviours that adults or engage in order to try and gain access sexually to a child or young person. The Royal Commission also covered off on what we call harmful sexual behaviour. So young people who might be engaging in coercive or harmful or concerning behaviour towards other children and young people. But finally, the Royal Commission also acknowledged very rightly that sexual abuse doesn't occur in a vacuum, and that often children who are exposed to child sexual abuse or harmful sexual behaviour from their peers are also experiencing a range of other forms of child maltreatment, different forms of abuse such as emotional abuse, physical abuse, exposure to domestic and family violence, which of course is a very big problem in many of our communities in Australia, and really comes to the attention of statutory child protection authorities quite significantly. And then there's also neglect. And so we know that we need to be looking at the risk of children being exposed to this full range of harms, and make sure that we are putting the spotlight on parents and getting you know, good guidance and advice and support to help parents in their, you know, sometimes challenging but of course very rewarding task of being a parent and raising our next generation.
Beautiful. No, fantastic. Look, a strong foundation there to what you're all doing there, so thank you very much. Good yarning with you, Professor. And look, a Merry Christmas, we say, Kuri New Year, to all your team and your staff, and keep doing what you're doing.
Open up my heart to relieve the pressure, building on my chest. Once an invitation for you to unload your stress. Life without meaning, a vessel without a soul. Euphoria is finally achieved when we all just lose control. So take it easy, and take it easy. Here we go right now. I can't believe my life, 'cause it's heading in the wrong direction. And how many brothers out there getting lost in an intersection? I can't believe my woman just left me all alone. And even though I got four walls, this house doesn't really feel like home.
She said you better not call if you don't got nothing to say. Been staring at a wall with my thoughts in silence. Just wait on my mind, wait on my mind. Get it off with a little bit of rum and a coffee mug. Just a little bit, 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 just a little bit of rum and a coffee mug. Just a little bit, 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 just a little bit of rum and a coffee mug.
We all want freedom deep in our souls. Should've got my stuff together many, many moons ago. Stimulate your mind and finally run free. Embrace your life and love and live in peace. Mother Earth's so fragile, you gotta take care of her.
artificially creating bombs. Future for the children needs more than likes and shares. Pretend you're not listening and make out like you don't care.
She said you better not call if you don't got nothing to say.
Hey, what get on your mouth? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. Us BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calling from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, severe wet season drives up demand for air freight food supplies in far north Queensland. We're talking about the likes of the Gulf, when we talk about Doomadgee, my family mob up that way, Pormpuraaw, Kawinyama, and Mornington Island. The floods have been astronomical, and we're going to catch up a yarn now with Michael Dykes. He's the CEO of the organisations in regarding helping supplies and supporting people in the Gulf and in far north Queensland. On the line, we have Michael. Michael, very good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. And thank you very much for having me on here for a yarn. And just before we start, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners, Trevor, of the land in which we meet, and I pay my respects to those elders past, present, and, of course, emerging. So thank you for the time, Trevor.
Yeah, beautiful, Michael. Thank you for your acknowledgement, and thank you for coming to the program. Look, we've had the wet season, the true wet season of far north Queensland. It has affected our mob in the far north in the Gulf and Cape York. Tell us where we're at and how's it looking. There's beautiful, big, bright sun in the sky at the moment, so that should bring things down. But our people were struggling in the far north. Is that right?
Yeah, Trevor, you've hit the nail on the head, I guess. Look, at Community Enterprise Queensland, we obviously provide the remote store services for many remote locations. Mm. And, you know, we plan 8 months out for these wet seasons. And to be honest, Trevor, all the planning in the world wouldn't have made us ready for this wet season. It's been an absolute cracker. You know, it's one that no one could have predicted. And certainly from our perspective, has really challenged the organisation to make sure that people are getting food, yes, fresh food, in a timely way.
And all the roads have been blocked, of course. So, but flying in, even that has been difficult, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. You know, often freight is having to go to a certain hub and then potentially be transported from there. We've been pretty lucky. You know, the main communities that we serve, Doomadgee, Kawinyama, and Pormpuraaw. Those guys have managed to maintain the runways, so we've been able to fly freight directly into those locations. Mm. But just in Doomadgee alone, you know, the wet season might normally last 6 days there for us in terms of disrupting your deliveries. We're into week 14 now, Trevor, week 14.
And we're talking about townships, houses and businesses inundated with water, flooded out. And it's hard to get stuff in there, and it's hard for the people living on the ground in regarding living conditions, and plus their residentials, but plus businesses as well. Townships are virtually underwater. Is that right?
Yeah, it's devastating what's going on out there. We are fairly fortunate that the communities we serve, we've been managing to get air freight directly into the locations. So, Kawinyama, Doomadgee, and Pormpuraaw. So we've got weekly flights going in there. Mm. In Doomadgee, for example, though, we're up at 4 flights a week just to maintain the food supply there. So it's devastating stuff, Trevor.
Yeah, for sure. And so with it, like I said, no matter how good your plans are, when Mother Nature speaks, it speaks strong. It's hard to tackle that, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And I think you can set out your plans, and we did 8 months ago, but you've got to remain nimble and really just work with the local community, work with the local council, and keep your plans nimble enough to make sure you're responding to what people need. You know, and you've got to pivot a little. Like, for example, in Doomadgee, you know, no fuel getting in there means that the only fuel that they can use is for emergency vehicles. And with the local team there, the local council, we're supporting a bus service that will get people at least around the community, get them to the store and get them home with their groceries. Mm. So you got to pivot a little bit on your planning just to demonstrate that you're going to care for the community.
A bit of planning, but also communication strong with the people on the ground, especially the services on the ground. That's got to be utmost so very important, eh?
Yeah, 100%. And Queensland are good at it. You know, they've good. Got the local disaster management committees that go that meet when these things happen, and they make sure that the right organisations or authorities are getting included at the right time. You know, but in saying that, there's always challenges, and you gotta stay nimble and adjust when you need to.
So here we are now, and the rain has been happening for the last 2-3 weeks. The rain has stopped. The waters are receding. Is that the case?
That is the case, Trevor. But they're still not receding quick enough for our liking. And our worry now is shifting to what is the road condition that's been under these waters, you know? Mm. And I think really all of our focus now, both council, government, ourselves, is really about getting these roads ready to start taking road freight deliveries back in there so we can get decent volumes and get stock in stores filled up again.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, thank you for communicating, Michael, and good luck with it all, and good luck to your team, and thinking of the mob family members out there in the communities, and there's light at the end of the tunnel. But thank you very much, Michael. You take care, mate.
Pleasure, Trevor. Thanks for your time.
Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there. Michael Dykes, his name is, Chief Executive Officer for the organisations, and they're working closely with all the mob in the community, Cape York and the Gulf of Carpentaria, regarding all the big floods that's been happening, severe wet season, which has put on a lot of pressure with people, and regarding air freight and the food in, supplies in far north Queensland. But teamwork makes a dream work. Have your say, yarn up strong, add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.